Welcome to lesson 213, again in our series on book four, God's Will for My Life, and looking at, in the end here, the reward system and the destinations that are only two, eternal life in heaven, eternal life in hell. We've been looking at this whole idea of God growing your character through justification, sanctification, glorifying Him as a Christian and how you live. And now we're looking into in today's culture, especially in America, the most distasteful thing about the Bible. That's the reality of God's communication to us, tell us, of hell. So here we're going to turn to Luke 16. We're going to look at that very famous story for a lot of people who study the Bible. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. This is told by Jesus Christ himself. Let's go ahead and take a look at just verses 24 to 31. Here we go. The rich man, it starts in verse 19. Lazarus is a poor beggar outside his gates. And here he is now. It says in verse 22 that the beggar is in with Abraham in his bosom. The rich man died and buried. And in verse 23, it says, being tormented in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Here we go, verse 24. Then he, the rich man, cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, my son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are in tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. The rich man then said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Moses and the prophets, John 15, 30, 39. Literally, Moses is the law. The prophets are the prophets in the Old Testament books. He's saying they have the Bible. All they have to do is hear what the Bible says to know. They don't need someone to come back from the dead. Now, the rich man argues with Abraham in verse 30. He said, no, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. But Abraham said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. This is exactly what we have in our culture today. We have all these books in libraries, these books you can buy online that talk about someone who died and came back to life, near-death experience, came back. We have the ultimate picture of someone who died and came back to life, Jesus Christ. And still people don't believe. So Abraham's saying, you don't understand. The way anyone's persuaded is through the word of God. So that's the story of the reality of hell. Let's walk through this now and take a look at it. Here's Chuck Swindoll talking about this in his article, Stress Fractures. The man in hell is in conscious torment. He is crying out for mercy, being far away and permanently removed by a great chasm. He is desperately alone, unable to escape from hell. None may cross over. He begs for someone to go to his father's house and warn his brothers so that they will not also come to this place of torment. That's the story. Let's see how hell in the New Testament is described. In Matthew, if we start there, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, it's described as a great place of torment. Here's what it says, weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How about the second one? We just read it in Luke 16. We just read through the rich man and Lazarus. It will be a place where people scream for mercy. They have memories. They're tormented. They feel alone. They can't escape. Notice, though, a major point in this story. He doesn't cry, the rich man, for mercy because he wants forgiveness for his sins. He wants water to ease his torment. He never asked to come out. He never asked to leave hell. He just wants the tormenting to stop. Let's look at the next one. Mark 9:48 says this. We'll move up a little and read it, actually. Jesus' warning of offenses in verse 43. If your hand makes you sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell or Gehenna. Into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where the worm does not die, the fire is not quenched. Verse 45. If your foot makes you sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than having 2 feet to be cast into, again, Gehenna, hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47. If your eye makes you sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two to be cast into hell fire. Okay, hell fire, Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That's exactly what God is talking about when he talks about this place of unquenchable fire. It's real fire. Then you have another one. Look at Revelation 9, verse 2. In Revelation 9, verse 2, it says, we'll go to verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. Smoke arose out of the pit like a smoke of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. You have a situation here, this bottomless pit of darkness. Let's take a look at Mark now, chapter 3. Let's look there at verse 29, see what that says. Mark 3:29 puts it this way. I'll look at 28 first. Assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men and whatever blasphemes they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Eternal, because they have an unclean spirit. It's eternal damnation. Then we look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 10. Here, when you're looking at this, now it's talking about, again, this suffering that's going to happen. I'm going to start at verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation and shall be tormented. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives his name. That is where God's wrath is poured out. And then finally, a place of everlasting destruction. 2 Thessalonians. If you look at chapter 1 and go to verse 9, we'll go back again a little further. Verse 6, since it's a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. As Chuck Swindoll says, and Tim Keller says the same thing, which it makes total sense to me, to deny the permanence of hell is impossible without also removing the permanence of heaven. Each is a reality, and each is ultimate finality. That is lesson 213 on what hell is like.